We're continuing to look at the book of James, which I began by saying it's a very practical book. It's a book that lends itself to everyday life, and really what I want to share in the future weeks all come from and originate in many ways in the book of James. And so today I just want to begin by sharing some statements. These are not new, they're classic statements that many of you have read maybe in Reader's Digest or ARP magazine, if you get an AARP. How many of you are AARP age? Okay. But anyway, I have to laugh every time I see these and read these, because these are individuals who are writing down things that have happened, their accident reports, but sometimes they don't come out the way that we want them to come out. All right? And these are some of the ones I get tickled with. One is an individual had, run into a tree, and this is what she wrote happened on her accident report. Coming home, I drove into the wrong house, and I collided with a tree I don't have. And here's another one. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. All right? Now, I had a great mother-in-law, okay? She really was, but this here has always intrigued me. I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. Oh, and this one here, do I dare read it or not? I think I will, but it was this person writing down what had actually happened. Says, I was on my way to the doctor's with rear end trouble when my universal joint gave away, causing me to have an accident. Here's another one who doesn't come out quite right. I had been driving my car for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident. Now, can you imagine that? Driving your car for 40 years. But, you know, we all know, of course, that there's a little thing called the tongue. And it's you know, it weighs about 70 grams for a male and 60 grams for a female. But it's actually imprisoned behind two jailers, the teeth and the lips. And I'm sitting here thinking about Greg, and he sticks his hands in the mouth every day. And maybe he should talk a little bit this morning about the mouth and all the stuff that live in the mouth, you know? Because I was just doing some reading, and I discovered, and I don't know whether this is true, this is what they were saying, and so you're the doc this morning, and so you can verify it or not verify it. But take it that you probably have individuals, you know, wash their mouth out with all sorts of antiseptics before you stick your fingers in there. They say something like 100,000 or 100 million, what do I want to say, microscopic critters live in the mouth and abide on the tongue. Can you imagine that? Is that 100 million? 100,000? Is that 100 million? Okay. No, is that 100,000? What is that called? Those are your maths. Well, anyway, there's just a whole lot of critters that live in that mouth. And not only that, but there is fungus that abides in the oral cavity. There's viruses that live in that mouth. And you stick your hands in that mouth? I can't imagine that. But anyway, you know, the tongue is one of those places of the mouth that really, when you stop and think about it, is really yucky. But on the other hand, stop and think about it. The tongue, there's physical anatomy. The tongue is a muscle, and it actually goes back and it's connected to, you know, back in here somewhere. What's it connected to, Greg? The throat, the esophageal thing? Well, just say what it's connected to. It's connected back here, right? If it wasn't connected, it would come flying out, okay? So it's connected back in here. But spiritually speaking, friends, the tongue is not connected to the back part of your throat or the front part of your throat. It's actually connected to your heart, okay? So we have the physical anatomy of the tongue, but we also have the spiritual anatomy of the tongue. And the spiritual anatomy says that it's directly wed to the heart. The problem isn't the physical location, it's the spiritual connection. And James says that this tongue can bless and it can curse, it can encourage, and it can discourage. The tongue is the tattletale of the heart, and the heart will manipulate the tongue to say what is good and bad and ugly and imperfect and all sorts of vile things, but at the same time, it can bless people and encourage people and strengthen people. Justin Martyr, who was an early church father and apologist, notice I have up there the dates that he lived, 100 to 165. long before the scientific community really got into finding out that there was that many critters living in the mouth. And they also understood, even in 100 AD, that you went to the physician, he would say, stick out your tongue, and they could discern maybe what kind of disease you have. And notice what he says, by examining the tongue of a patient, physicians find out the diseases of the body, philosophers find out the diseases of the mind, and Christians do what? They find out the diseases of the soul. And so we come to the book of James chapter 3, in which James understands perhaps more, and he writes more about this than any other New Testament writer, about the power and the potential of the tongue and the ability of the tongue to bless or curse, to tear up or to tear down. And the tongue was one of those things of life that we must always learn how to control. Otherwise, the flesh of our heart will cause us to say things, words matter, that we do not want to say or that we should not say. There's an old story, again, an old classic joke. I'll share it this morning, but it's it just reminds me of how we always need to guard our tongue. But a pastor was out riding his bicycle one day, and he was riding around the community, and he happened upon a little boy who was selling his lawnmower, okay? And he stopped by, and he said, son, you really selling your lawnmower? And he says, I sure am. He says, I want to buy me a bicycle. And he says, well, I really don't need my bicycle. How about we just trade even up? I'll trade you my bicycle for that lawnmower because I really want a lawnmower. And the little boy said, sure, Pastor, I will do that. You give me your bicycle, I'll give you this lawnmower. No problem at all. And so they traded. And later on that day, the little boy was riding his bicycle around the neighborhood, and he saw the pastor standing there and with his lawnmower. And the pastor said, hey, son, he said, this lawnmower that I traded for, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I pull on the rope, but it doesn't start. And he says, well, you got to cuss at it for it to start. And the pastor says, well, sonny, I've been saved for many, many years. He said, I don't cuss any longer. I mean, that's a thing of the past. In fact, I probably don't even remember how to cuss any longer. And the little boy says, well, you pull on that rope long enough, and it'll all come back to you. So we always need to control the tongue and the heart, because you never know when the flesh wants to come bursting out. And so let's look at the tongue this morning and what James says. First of all, he begins by saying, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers. And while teaching is a great pleasure and a joy, preaching is a great pleasure and joy, but there's also, if any of you who've taught, whether it be school or Sunday school or classes and children, there's also some burdens that go along with that, and stresses and difficulties and temptations when it comes to sharing the Word of God. Sometimes, the Word of God says things, and I'm saying, God, I don't want to speak on that. I don't want to share that because I really get convicted, and why should I preach on it if I'm going to get convicted? And so, the tongue bit, I sometimes my tongue sort of flaps around in my mouth, and I'm saying, God, now wait a minute, do I really want to talk about the tongue this morning? But he says, anyway, so I'm going to go ahead and do that anyway. But he says, the tongue basically reveals our maturity. The tongue reveals who we really are, what we're all about. And he says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. So here's James. He sees this magnificent horse, this magnificent beast, who is ridden by a Roman general, or perhaps ridden by Roman troops, or maybe it's pulling some Roman weapons, or maybe it's out, in the field. It's a wild stallion, and somewhere along the line, it's been able to be brought into the domain of a person, into a pen, and they put a bit and a bridle on that horse, and a bit and a bridle on that magnificent beast, that 100,000-pound animal, however much they weigh, that little 100-pound girl can control that horse. Think about Dwayne and Susie's granddaughter who does horse competitions, Here she is, she's able to control that horse and jump those gates and run through all those barrels and manipulate that horse. But he says the tongue, we are the human body, we are the person, and we're like this horse, but this tongue is like this little bitty bit in the mouth, and it can control our destiny, and it can set our future, and it can determine the path that we're going to take in life. And we need to watch this little bit there. And then he says, or take ships as an example. Although they're very large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. So here's this huge ship, and it has a rudder that, again, determines the direction. Now I think about the Bismarck, which was a German battleship in World War II, commissioned 1940. 842 feet long, 15-inch guns. And in a battle with the Royal Navy one day, the HMS Hood, the Bismarck took it out with one single shot. I mean, they believed that this ship was actually the ship that was going to control the seas, and they were going to win the war. But in a battle one day, the British fleets came together, and they began to attack the Bismarck, and the Bismarck was holding its ground until a torpedo hit the rudder of the Bismarck and incapacitated it, paralyzed it, and it was actually able to be destroyed. And James says, do you realize that your tongue is like that little rudder, again, like the bit in the mouth? It can set a direction. It can set on course. It can determine, you know, a life here and a life there. But the tongue, he says, is very, very important. Words matter, and the way that we use those words matter in life, the way that we use our tongue. And then he says the tongue is like a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. So here he says it's like a verbal arsonist, okay? It's a pyromaniac. He goes out and the tongue sets fire wherever we find ourselves. You know, wouldn't it be neat or great if our tongues actually had like a control Z? You know what control Z on the computer is? It's an undo button. And if we were able to say, we said things, we said, oh, why did I say that? Control Z, undo, delete, wipe it out. I mean, that would be pretty super, isn't it? How many of you have ever said things you wish you could actually undo? You say something, undo, control Z, but he says the tongue is like that fire, it's like that spark, and it lies in a dry ember. And like the wildfires in Montana or the forest out in California, it sets on fire and it sweeps down and destroys homes and destroys possessions and destroys nature. He says the tongue is able to set on course, it says, the fire of hell itself. And so the tongue is one of those potentials that we need to really watch. It's that verbal arsonist that can assassinate a person's character. And then he goes on and he says that actually it should have a skull and crossbones tattooed on it. No man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. I mean, it spews forth a venom more deadly than a cobra. It's more toxic than cyanide. I mean, again, it assassinates character. It destroys relationships. It destroys not only the fabric of relationship, but the fabric of nations. It is a very potential weapon for evil. It can be blessed, and you can use it to curse. So with the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we can curse men who've been made in the likeness of God. So the issue about the tongue is this. The tongue being this small instrument in the mouth can bring so much potential in life, and it can bring so much encouragement in life, but the tongue can also be used to destroy and tear down and defame and assassinate. How do we control the tongue? Because that's the issue in your life, that's the issue in my life. How do we bring healing to the tongue? Well, we go back and he says that the tongue is like a fire that sets on course the whole, you know, of hell, and it sets on fire the whole of nature. And I got to thinking about that thing called fire. And I went through and I started thinking about the different fires in Scripture. There's the fires of Gehenna, or hell. And outside of Jerusalem was this garbage dump. And Jesus used it as an analogy for Gehenna, or hell. And there in that garbage dump, there were fires that were always burning. And the people always saw those fires. They always saw the embers. They always saw the smoke curling up towards the sky, that fires. The fire in the book of Revelation that we read about, that John received in the revelation of Jesus Christ. I think about the fire in Genesis 15, where the animal is cut in twain, in two, and God passes between the two with a torch of fire in his hands, as he makes a covenant with Abraham and says, I'm going to make you a blessing to other people. You're going to become the father of many nations. And then I think about the pillar of fire in the wilderness that led the people of Israel through the wilderness at night, and the pillar of cloud by the day. And then I cannot help think about this, because at this time of the year, you know, you see these bushes out there that are just that are flaming red. You know, those bushes that are, and you think about the burning bush or the trees on the collar. I drive into town and there's that one tree there by the old car wash up there, and it just turns complete red. I think about the burning bush every time I see that. And how God spoke out of the midst of that burning bush and said, Moses, here he is on the backside of a desert tending sheep. And he walks up to this bush flaming with fire, and God says, Moses, take off your shoes because you're standing on holy ground. And God called him to become the servant and deliverer of the people of Israel. But there's one other place where we read about fire. And that is this. Jesus has been crucified, he's been buried, he's been resurrected, and he's ascended up into heaven. And as he's been ascended up into heaven, he tells the disciples, he says, I want you to go to the upper room. And I want you to pray, and I want you to wait, and I want you to seek my face. And wait for the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, who will come upon you. And as they were praying one day, and as they were waiting upon God and the promise to come, the wind began to blow through the windows, and tongues of fire came down upon every single disciple, and they began to go forth, and they began to speak forth the praises of God. And I say, you know, this is how the tongue can actually be healed. Because let's step back from this. You have Acts chapter 2, where the tongues of fire, the Holy Spirit, came down upon the people, and they began to speak forth the praises of God. But I think about Genesis chapter 11, just before God calls Abraham, there are the people of the earth, and they're building this ziggurat, this tower to heaven. And that says that they're longing to make a name for themselves. And so out of their own vainglory, out of their own self-serving reputation and glory-seeking, they're trying to build this tower up to God. And as a result, as they're building it up to God, all of a sudden, their speech becomes confused. Their words become toxic poison. They begin to backbite, and they begin to criticize, and all of a sudden you witness division and confusion and chaos, and then people begin to split because they're fragmented. And why? Because out of the heart, remember, the tongue is connected to the heart spiritually, so out of the heart man speaks, and they begin to speak these words of poison, these words of cyanide, this toxic, verbally assassinating every single one, division and divisiveness and selfishness. Out of that came the destruction of their own community, and they began to leave, and they began to go out into the other parts of the world. But Genesis 11 is the contradiction of Acts chapter 2, because in Acts chapter 2 you have the reversal of the curse, the reversal of Genesis 11, and what you have is you have a tongue that surrendered to the Lord. Now think about the disciples, they're in that upper room, and what happens? Their tongue is healed. Their tongue is healed. And they spent time in the upper room repenting and surrendering who they were to God. Now James elsewhere says that, you know, if you have a pump, and he says, you know, you can't pump fresh water if you have salt water in the well. Now think about how it is that, you know, you remember the old hand pumps? You know, I think about the hand pumps. Or those of you don't like hand pumps, you know, you can talk about a modern day pump. But I just like to use a picture of a hand pump, because I remember the days when you pump that handle and you got that water in your hands and you just lapped it in, you know, or you put your head underneath there. I mean, it was so cool, man, you know. But anyway, if the water was putrid, if the water was not any good, sulfuric, whatever it might be, I could change the pump all I wanted, it would continue to pump forth putrid water. The only way that I'm going to fix the problem is to fix the well, the water in the well. And so there's times in our life when we need to spend time before God, saying, God, I'm sorry for the way that I've used my tongue. And we repent and we surrender this little muscle in our mouth that has all these microscopic critters on it, you know, of the flesh. And we say, God, I want to give my tongue to bless you and to bless others. And secondly, as I think about the disciples in the upper room, they were waiting upon God, and I think about how important it is for us to spend time before God waiting. It might be a quiet time in prayer and Bible reading. It can be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, however long you might want, but spend time before God realizing that the wisdom that we seek for that day doesn't come from below, it comes from above and from the Word of God and from the Spirit of God Himself. And so we need to spend time, you know, before Him, waiting before Him. And as we do, the tongue begins to be healed. And then there was one other thing. We need to learn how to ask God to discipline our tongue. He says in James 1:19, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Now, I want to ask you this morning a very simple question. How many of you have ever hit send on your cell phone before you read the message? You're going to do a text message, okay? And you type the text message out, and you don't bother to read the message before you hit send. And then you look at the message, and you've discovered that somewhere along the line, that crazy phone decided to auto-correct your word, you know? And you're saying, oh my goodness, what did I do here? And you're saying, oh, or like I did several weeks ago, that someone was making this dish. I told him about this dish that we sometimes like to make, and a very simple one, and they sent me a picture and said, well, here's what we did. And so I sent them a message back, and after I sent it, realized that I didn't send it to them. I sent it, well, I went to look up the zip code or the area code or whatever it was, and I sent it to somebody in Nevada somewhere, you know. But anyway, you know, before, and I don't know about you, but sometimes, You know, I'm quick to speak, but slow to listen. And I need to say, wait a minute, God, before I hit the send button, help me to read the text. Help me to listen. Because we're sometimes too quick to speak. How many would say amen to that? So before you hit send, make sure you read the message and listen to what is being said. Secondly, we need to bite our tongue more often. Now, I bite my tongue, but it's not, you know, it's because I've got a bad mouth. But anyway, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue. And so we need to bite our tongue. In other words, we need to think sometimes before we say it. And then, friends, there's some things that we say that don't really need to be said. You know, there's some things I'd like to say to some people, but sometimes it's better left unsaid. Can I get an amen? All right, we've all been there, right? I'm not the only one in this boat, right? Okay, well, make sure we're on the same page here, because if not, you can bite your tongue, all right? Bite your tongue more often. And then thirdly, we need to refuse to tear other people down. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Don't grumble against each other. You know, it's very easy to assassinate somebody, to tear somebody down, to speak evil about somebody. And, you know, we all find ourselves, because we all wrestle with the flesh. I mean, I do that same thing. I mean, quick to grumble sometimes. But why? You know, because the flesh is trying to assert itself, and I have to keep saying, why do I do that? Why do I do that? And I beat my head against the wall. God, help me to have a surrendered tongue. And then, last of all, speak only what is true. Above all, my brethren, don't swear. He says, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Speak only what is true. Now, before I close this morning, there's one more thing I want to say. Because there are times that we talk about the tongue. And James is in the New Testament time, and he did not have what we have today. Okay? He knew that the tongue is a way to communicate. But we live in a world today that is technologically advanced, and we have this thing called social media. And we have things that are called Facebook and Twitter and text messages and email and all sorts of things. And so we also have to include these fingers, because the tongue comes down to the heart and the heart comes out through these fingers, okay? And sometimes, you know, it's easier to say things about people, or it's easier to say things that should be left unsaid, because we're not face to face with them. And I want to tell you something, it's still just as destructive. To post something on Facebook or to post something on social media thinking, well, you know, I didn't see them, but, you know, I want to ask you something very seriously this morning. How many of you have ever received a text message and you said, well, how did they mean that? Anybody? How did they really mean that? Did they mean it positively? I'm sure that that's what they meant. But, you know, sometimes your mind works and you say, well, did they mean it sarcastically? I sometimes can't interpret the way that some people, you know, send a text, because I'm saying, I know it's positive, but maybe they meant it sarcastically. Maybe they meant it in a demeaning way. But friends, we have to watch what we do today. We hear that all the time. We've been subjected to that. I just heard Pat last week, you know, somebody, and it gets out. And what happens is a Facebook has all these, you write all this stuff on there. And then you have friends who comment about the stuff that's said. And before you have it, you don't know what's actually happening. You don't know all the facts. We don't know all the truth. We don't know everything. And what happens is it begins to spread, and people are assassinated. Their character is demeaned. Witnesses of churches are brought down. Their influence for God is diminished. We need to be very, very careful, you know, as the way we use our social media today, because James says that's also a means of using our tongue. Let no evil deceit, the psalmist says, come forth from our mouth. Now, there's one more, and I think about this phrase in John 7:46. It says, no man ever spoke like this man. And who is John talking about? Jesus. And so my prayer for my life, and hopefully this will be for your life as well, is, Lord, help me to control my tongue. Lord, heal my tongue through the anointing of your Spirit. Help it to be surrendered. Make me, fill me, mold me, Lord. And help me to use my tongue in a way that praises you and speaks well of others. And help me to speak the words of Jesus. Help it to be said of me. Help it to be said of all of us. No one ever spoke like this man, because we have learned to speak like Jesus. And that's discipleship, learning to become like the Lord. And it's very difficult, because we're going to have good days and we're going to have bad days. And we're going to say, whoosh, I wish I would have had a delete button, a control Z. I wish I wouldn't have said that, you know. And those things happen. But praise God, we make allowances for one another. And there's this thing called forgiveness and these sorts of things, but the tongue. It's a very powerful thing that James has written for us here, and very necessary for us to hear. especially in today's culture. And we want to be people who learn what it means to speak forth the glorious praises of the Lord and tell people everywhere that we have a Savior who has come to fix broken humanity. Lord God, we come to you today, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us this tongue. And I know, Lord, that we have used it for means that were not intended. Lord, I pray that you would forgive me, and I pray that you would forgive each and every one of us, because there are times that we speak out of the flesh. But I pray this morning that we would be able to say, like Charles Wesley said, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my Redeemer's praise." Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray may we have a tongue that sings forth your praise and speaks forth the beauty of Christ. May, Lord Jesus, we speak words of healing that our culture desperately need. May we speak words of redemption that broken lives need to hear. Lord Jesus, I pray, heal our tongues. Help us to control them. In your name we pray. Amen.